34 years ago and 31 years ago, my wife and I adopted two kids. It's been the greatest challenge in my whole life. I can't say that it was a greater challenge. There was difficulties. But greater is he that's in me than he was in the world. Amen. My older son served in the U.S. Marines and now is a deputy sheriff with Ulster County with the K-9 unit. My other son is a doctor in private practice in Albany. Give God the glory on that one. Roseanne, Sheldon, you can testify to the miracle that God did in my sons. That's what I'd like to speak about today. We have somebody on slides? Thank you. Are you alive?
Yes.
Buckle your seatbelts. Because the Lord is about ready to change your life. Do you want God to change your life for the better? This scripture radically changed my life. It was probably in 1981 that I came across the scripture and God did a Gibbs in NCIS with this scripture. He had to get my attention. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I could understand. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We have what we have in Christ because of the sacrifice that he made. Amen. He paid the price that we could have abundant life. Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm sure I don't have to convince you of that in this room, right? But Jesus came to give us life and life abundant. The love of God, I could understand. Then I got to the next part. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The first thing I thought about when I saw this was fellowship. And I remembered back to going to grandma's and grandpa's house. And on Sundays, we would have a meal. That meal started with the antipasto. You know what I mean? It was in Brooklyn, 4th Avenue. You guys know what I'm talking about. Forget about it. And they start with the antipasto, and then they got to the pasta, and then we have some fruits and nuts in between, and then we come to the main course of the meal. Anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
And there was always good fellowship around the table. And what God showed me was that that's what our fellowship with God should be like through the Holy Spirit. We're to actually literally spend time with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I gotta let you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God, three at once. They are one God that we serve. Yet Jesus chose to lay his divinity down and become fully man on this earth. And the only assist that he had was seeing what the Father does and doing it. How could Jesus know what the Father was thinking? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that allowed him to do that. You see, the Greek word for fellowship is also translated communion or having common union. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia. It literally means to participate in a partnership. If I was to go into business, my partner's going to be the Holy Spirit. Anybody agree? Everything you do, whether it be marriage, whether it be business, it's you, me, and God. A threefold cord, a rope. If you look at a rope, it's twined, intertwined. Three cords all into one. Science tells us that actually it increases the strength because of the forces of tension and compression, so that a rope of three strands, each one holding 1,000 pounds, will hold more than 1,000 pounds And all I'm saying to you is that as we go forth, and I'm going to make a declaration of faith, this group of people is going to change the Hudson Valley, New York State, and the world. Okay? If 12 people with Jesus could radically change the world, I do believe that we here will be known. I walked and talked and served with a man who has sons and grandsons all over the world. One man named Pastor Vaughn Gerald has literally changed this world. How much more, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can we do in this valley? Amen. We're going to take this valley for Christ. Yes. I'm glad you're agreeing. See, being a Baptist pastor, I like a response. Oh me, oh my, I don't care. It's also an affirmation of faith. When you agree, yeah, amen, brother, you're saying to God, yeah, I want that. I want that. Now, what I found out is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. If I was to quiz most Christians, and I won't even go to this group of people, I'll just say, if I go to a church and ask them, can you describe to me the Holy Spirit? More often than not, what I get is that the Holy Spirit is a mystical force. It's like, whoa, look out, the Holy Spirit just came in the room. Or a power that we can operate in. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is written in many places. I've got a whole list of attributes of the Holy Spirit here. I'm just going to give you a few. In John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit guides. In Acts 2:4, it says the Holy Spirit works miracles. In Acts 5, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit forbids, leads, teaches, has a will, can be grieved, can be insulted, speaks. And I have only read about a third of the list. You see, Christianity for me is not about religion. Oh, you're a religious person. I love God. And I've come to find out it's not about religion, rules, and regulations. It's about relationship. Jesus said you can fulfill all the law by two things. Love God and love everybody else around you. Whether it be in India or whether it be at Walmart. Ah. Yeah, you know, it gets scary when you go into Walmart and you see people wearing their pajamas. Did I say that? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit, we need to fellowship with, have a common union with, have him come alongside us. You see, Jesus was a friend to his apostles. I'd love to have Jesus personally as my friend right now in the flesh, walking and talking. I mean, it's like, what happened when he was in the boat? The fishermen in the boat, when the storm came up, were starting to say, we're going to die, we're going to die. Now, when the fishermen say, we're going to die, that must be a pretty intense storm, don't you agree? Yeah. Where was Jesus? He was what? He was relaxing. He was sleeping. How many of you would like to have a peace that goes beyond human understanding and be able to sleep in the middle of a storm? Oh, man. And Jesus gets up, does one of these, and goes, how long am I going to be with you guys? And spoke to the storm. I'm sure he didn't even have to shout, even though the storm was raging, and the storm calmed right down. But even in the midst of that storm, Jesus was able to be able to have a peace that no human outside of God's help can have. I'm sure every single person wants to have that kind of peace. You see, Pastor Vaughn used to say, I live debt-free, regret-free, and stress-free life. I've gotten the debt-free down. I am totally, everything is paid for. Everything. It's like, it's a really good feeling. It's like, and it's God. Because I've made my mistakes. Regret-free. It's taken a while, but I have no regrets, I can honestly say. I do not regret a single thing. Stress-free. Whoa. That's going to take some work. But I realized that Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations. I'm sure I don't have to ask for agreement on that, that everybody in this room has had tribulations. But I have come that you might overcome. You see, it's not about the tribulations or the trials. It's about how you deal with them. Can you sleep in the midst of the storm? And that's how you become stress-free. Is that when the problem hits you, like I had a malignant melanoma right on the top of my head. I mean, it was a bad cancer in a bad place. I mean, you don't want it here. And the way they do it is they need to do a wide excision. They need to take a lot more skin around the area in order to be able to cut that cancer out. Any place on your body, if you have a spot of cancer on your cheek, all they have to do is pinch it, sew it up, you know, take it off, and you're done. But where do you have extra skin? Do you have any extra skin? Anybody have any extra skin on the top of your head? Yeah. You see, at first, that hit me when the doctor said, you have cancer, and when he described it to me. But almost immediately, I just started just really quietly just praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, it was like a warm oil. It just came over me. I had a peace. And so when I told the principal over the phone that I'm going to come in and I'll tell you that I've got a cancer that I'm going to have to take some time off for, I went in to them, and both of these guys are like, oh, no, you know, and they were acting like I was going to die. I don't need people. Jesus, when he went in to actually literally raise somebody from the dead, had to cast out the unbelief out of the room before he could actually do a good work. And there are times when you just have to tell people to I was going to say shut up. Can I say shut up in church? And he had to clear, and I had to literally tell them I'm going to be okay, and then I was able to share the good news. But the greatest part about this thing was that it was a 7-hour surgery. It took him probably 10 minutes to cut the thing off or less, but it took him 7 hours to put my head back together again because there was literally no skin to be able to. And so I had to go to a plastic surgeon to have this thing removed. And now I get home from the hospital, and I walk in, and my family is sitting there in the family room, and all of them, all three of them, my two sons and my wife, start laughing. Evidently, all the wrinkles on my forehead had disappeared. I got a free facelift! A free facelift! Okay. That is absolutely true. I love the Lord. Hey, people at school, the teachers, it's like, why are you smiling? Because I'm peculiar. But the Word says I am, okay? So, the world says that we should be different. Are you different? Does the world see something in you that's different than the rest of the crew? Jesus was a friend. But what Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. He said this to his disciples. You see, Jesus walked and talked with these guys for 3 years, and then all of a sudden he goes, I'm leaving town. Now tell me, I got a question. If you have a friend, okay, that could calm a storm in the middle of, calm the storm just by his voice, I also want to remind you that when Peter was having problems with the IRS. I mean, the tax collector. Tax collectors at that time, I mean, they'd come and throw you in jail if you just couldn't pay taxes. And they were taking one for themselves and one for the government and maybe two for themselves. They were really ripping people off, too, and it was a terrible thing. And when Peter said, the tax collector's after me, Jesus said, go fish. He literally did. He said, go catch a fish. And in its mouth, you're going to find gold coins. Pay for yourself and pay for me too while you're at it. Anybody want a friend like that? Yeah, okay, so when that friend goes, I'm leaving town and where I'm going, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a missionary in India for 3 years. And so what would be the first reaction that you would have if you had a friend like that was going to leave like that? Well, in your heart, you'd have some grief. And that's exactly what the apostle said. That they were grieved. It says in John 14:1, it says, Jesus told him, do not let your heart be troubled. Because, it says in John 16:7, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But unless I go away, the helper will not come to you. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. This is what Jesus did. He walked and talked with his disciples. And then he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you somebody else in my place. And he will be with you 24/7. Jesus didn't use that exact term, but that's exactly what he meant. He'll be with you forever. In other words, there isn't going to be a time that he's going to be sleeping. As a matter of fact, when you wake up in the middle of the night, boop, and you can't turn the thinker off. Anybody have a switch that you can turn the thinker off in the middle of the night when you're worried about something? It's a, yeah, I see a lot of wives pointing at their husbands. You know, some of us guys can go. I sleep real well. Because I know, and I've had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I have that other helper that Jesus has sent. Now you see, Jesus could only do the things that he could do because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was listening to the voice of the Father because of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you another helper. It's from the Greek word paraclete. Parakletos is from the Greek word, we can put that up too, parakaleo. It means coming alongside. Para means beside. Kaleo means to call. Jesus said, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to come right alongside of you. God is not up there. God resides within us. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget going to Africa with Pastor Vaughn Gerald. We flew and we ministered in England, and we flew down to Johannesburg, South Africa. And we were the last ones to be boarding a shuttle to go to the plane. It's not like here in the States where you got a little tunnel that connects right to the plane right there. In Africa, you have to actually literally walk out or take a shuttle, and then you have to climb a set of stairs to go up into the plane. And so anybody that's traveled, anybody traveled with Pastor Vaughn Gerald? I mean, his legs were long. My legs are, well, don't go there. And I had trouble keeping up with him in airports. I mean, he just really went, he expected you to keep up. And he was in front of me, and he got on the shuttle. And as I was going through and showing the passport as we were aboard, I was about ready to board the this shuttle, the woman asked me for a yellow fever vaccination, proof of yellow fever vaccination. I talked to doctors, I went online, and I talked to people in Zambia, and they said, no, you don't need your yellow fever vaccination. But yet this woman is stopping me and saying, you can't go on that plane. You need to go upstairs. Wait a second, hold on. The plane is leaving in 10 minutes. Again, you know, it struck my heart, and I almost gave in to the fear, because I didn't even have the telephone numbers of anybody in Zambia that where we were heading to from South Africa. And so the first thing I started doing was praying in my heavenly language. And I just started praying in heavenly language. Now, at an international airport, what do people think? Well, they think of one of two things. It's a foreign language that I don't know, or they're hearing me in the language that they can understand. As I started to speak in the spirit, Another woman that was at a desk picked up a phone and she starts talking. About a minute later, how many of you know a minute can seem like an hour? But I was just praying in the spirit and I had this peace that just went beyond human understanding. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to be witness to somebody in this place in South Africa. Sure enough, she puts the phone down and she pointed to me and she said, you can go. And then she pointed to the person behind me who also didn't have a yellow fever vaccination and says, you can't. I'm telling you, I moved faster than Vaughn at that point. I just said, goodbye. And I wasn't going to look back because I didn't want to end up like Lot's wife, a pillar of salt. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I mean, if the laughter just comes on, you just keep laughing. Because I've been there too, where I've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit and I start laughing. When there's absolutely no reason to laugh and it's just the laughter. And all of a sudden, it just washes away all my concerns. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So if you need to take your medicine, take it. I see a couple people really agreeing on that, and then they've experienced that. Trust me, it's real. Now, at this point, you're probably wondering, well, you know, what are we supposed to do? Worship the Holy Spirit? No, no, no. You worship God. Okay? And the Holy Spirit, this is the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will remind you of my words. The Holy Spirit always puts the spotlight on Jesus. Get that, make that clear that the Holy Spirit, we're not worshiping three gods, we're worshiping one God, and it's the Holy Spirit who always put the spotlight on the words of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when you accept Jesus into your heart, the Word becomes flesh, and now you can do the same things that Jesus did, even greater things. That's what the Word says. Are you willing to be used as a vessel to walk and talk like Jesus did on this earth? Are you willing to commit yourself to the point where you're going to say, I'm going to spend some time with him so that I understand what God is talking about for me to be able to come like Jesus? You see, we're expected to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says in Galatians in 5:22 that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you know that these things don't normally come naturally? It doesn't. You can't love the unlovely unless you have that love from God in your heart to be able to share to somebody else. Amen. And you need to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, if you think Jesus was just like this, you know, laid-back dude that is like, he started calling the Pharisees and Sadducees whitewashed tombs. In other words, they were like a tomb with a dead body in it. They looked pretty good on the outside, but they were rotting in the inside. You see, the change has to be, if you're going to produce fruit for God, you have to have the change on the inside and not on the outside, because too many Christians are, like Andy Elm said, constipated apple trees. I got to produce fruit. Does an apple tree have to strain? I'm from Brooklyn, and I taught seventh grade for 36 years. Cut me some slack here. But no, think about it. Does an apple tree have to force the fruit out? Why does an apple tree produce apples? Because it's an apple tree. It has the DNA of an apple tree. And it's connected to the roots, which gets water and nutrients. And it has its leaves absorbing the sun. I would like some more sunlight, S-O-N. Son of Jesus. In other words, if you're connected, I am the vine and you are the branches, and you will produce fruit if you're connected to me. Too many Christians try to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but yet they're not connected to him. And so all it becomes is, I'm going to force the fruit. And I'm not going to use that word again. Listen, the Holy Spirit will transform your life to produce fruit. Here's a place where you can make an affirmation. I would like to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in such a way in a greater way tomorrow than it did yesterday. Anybody that just would like to be able to have a peace that goes beyond human understanding? Well, get connected to God. You see, if you hang around an angry group of people, you will become angry. If you're surrounded by people that are enthusiastic, you will become enthusiastic. And if you hang around God through the Holy Spirit, you will become more like God. You see, I want to be more like Jesus. Do you really mean it? That's what my grandmother used to do. Ha. Ah. Enthusiasm comes from a compound Greek word, en theos. En theos, God. In God or God in us. That's where, am I enthusiastic? You've seen a couple of, I just about took out one of the music members with a sword a couple months ago. Doing communion. I don't know, some of you might remember that. I get enthusiastic. But my enthusiasm is because I'm connected to God. It has a purpose. Countenance. The eyes are the window to the soul. When the world sees you, do they see the light of Christ in you? Some Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Sad. That's because they just need to get connected. Now, there's some people, you go through trial and Satan steals your joy. And I'm going to tell you one thing, don't let Satan steal your joy. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your what? You can't do battle unless you have joy. The joy comes by filling your heart with the presence of God in your life. I mean, you got to... I'm looking at a whole bunch of people. And I know what your voice sounds like. Brother Dave, if you were to call me and you didn't tell me your name, I would know it's you. Why would I know it's you, Brother Dave? Because I know what your voice sounds like. You see, you got to just take a moment and be still and know that I am a God. There's times when you're in prayer that you need to shut it off and just wait on Him and listen for His voice. Because we cloud our prayers with all our... Ever get on the phone with somebody? It's like you hold the phone up and go... I don't know about you, but God sometimes feels that way when we pray. I'll do it again. You see, Pastor Vaughn said, he made an analogy. He had a grapefruit and a milkshake. Anybody remember that message? No? No, okay. He took a grapefruit and he started peeling it apart. And he put one of those peeled one of the sections of grapefruit, and he said, this is church. And he took another one, this is family. This is another one, it's work. This is another one, and he put it down. And he said, too many Christians are like grapefruits. In other words, they have sections in their life. They come to church on Sunday. Oh, that was a nice message. And then they go home. What I want you to know is that God wants you to be more like a milkshake. You put the ingredients in, you mix it up, and then you can't ever separate the parts. And so that's why when I go to Burger King, oh yeah, I sometimes go to Burger King. I'll tell you the Burger King story. I was coming down. This is last April when it was warm in April. And I had my windows down. And I was driving along, and I was going to go down 209 when the Lord said, go to Burger King. And I said, Lord, you know I don't like fast food unless it's an emergency, and then I'll eat it. And it has nothing to do with health reasons, as you obviously can see. So I obeyed the Lord, and I get into Burger King, and there's this big dude waiting online in front of me. Everybody's big to me, but this guy was especially big. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do here?" And then the Lord said, "I want you to witness the man." And it's like, how do you do that? Immediately, when I in my mind said, how do you do that? He turned around, and he had a Navy cap. And I realized that he was in the service. He might have been 10 years younger than me. And I immediately, out of my mouth, that's what happens when you're connected to the Holy Spirit, is all of a sudden things come out of your mouth from the throne room of God to somebody else. You can have words for somebody else through you. I can be a vessel. And as I saw that cap, I said, thank you for your service. I shook his hand, and all of a sudden there was tears in his eyes. That's another thing I learned from Vaughn. Man, I miss him, man. And I then, as I'm going like this, it was like almost like bam, bam. I said, can I buy you your meal? And when I said that, he responded, only if you supersize it. I said, sure thing. I didn't know that this man had an estranged son that he was coming to this area to try to rectify the situation that he had with his son. He hadn't talked to him in years. And God needed me to pray with this man. So I joined them for lunch. And I never took his name. He said he was only going to be here for this day, and then he was going to leave. And so I never connected with him again, but I know it was a divine appointment. Amen. Does anybody in here want to have experiences like that? Yes. Listen, my wife and I go into maximum security prisons. We go into Supermax. It's fun. It really is. When you go to Downstate, Diane prays for everybody in the room, and she'll have a personal word of prophecy over every single person. On two occasions, she named the person by name without any evidence. They came for the first time, and Diane called them by name. Another man came into the room. He was about halfway through the Bible study that we were doing, and he just came and sat down. As we were praying, she didn't know who he was. And she went over to him, and she sticks her finger in his face and goes, last call! And I'm going to, like, you know, most guys won't hurt a man's wife, but they'll, you know, pick her husband apart. And she said it three times. There's something about hearing something three times. Peter found out. Last call! Last call! And on the last time, he buckled to his knees and started crying. This is in the middle of prison. If you know anything about inmates, is that they're not going to show emotion like that ever in the place, because that's a sign of weakness. And he just couldn't contain himself. And he said with these words, those must be words of God. The man was a bartender. And he knew what the words last call meant. That's it. The last chance that you're going to get. Is there anybody in here that would like to be able to move in words like this and in that type of authority? Come on, just make an affirmation here. I want everybody to be so in tune to the Holy Spirit that you're moving, you're walking and talking. When you open your mouth, what comes out is from the abundance that you've placed in your heart, from the Word of God. And you can speak things that come directly from the throne room. The only way that we could have that kind of access is by virtue of what Jesus did at Calvary. He literally laid his life down and died for us that we would have abundant life. But you see, it has a purpose. We've entered into an agreement. It's a covenant, a new covenant. A covenant just is a simple agreement. It's laid down in his blood that he'd give us our best. But I do believe today when we receive communion that we should be offering our best back to him. And then as you receive communion, I want you in the silence of your own place, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life. I don't want you to do it just today. This is not an experience for today. This is an experience for tomorrow. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I welcome the Holy Spirit to do something unique and special in my life every single day. And every place I go, I'm like a milkshake. It doesn't matter whether I'm in church and have words for people in church, or in India and Africa and Jamaica, which are all places I've been to. And the Lord will empower you to do mighty things for him. But understand it's also for going to your neighbor and sharing good news, because Jesus said, he said these words, go and preach the gospel. He said, go and preach the gospel. Now, for some of you, going and preaching the gospel sounds a little difficult, but let me explain. The word preach means share, and the word gospel means good news. How many of you can be good news sharers? Come on. Amen. I'm a good news sharer every place I go. I'm like a milkshake and not a grapefruit. I don't use just my gifts in church or church settings. Every place I go, I'm being used by God. I just can't wait for the next person. You see, I was a volunteer fireman. I used to run out of my house for people that I didn't know. In the middle of the night, to risk my life, how much more should we be doing that for our brothers and sisters and for a world that's hurting? Because you know, I mean, like I said before, you go into Walmart and you can actually see it in the eyes of the people. They're hurting. You want to see God take care of the hurts in your life? Go minister to somebody else's hurts. And he will minister to you. Thank you, Lord.